Welcome to everyone. Now, this evening, we come to the final week of our evening series, focusing on Mark chapter 12, verse 30, when asked which was the greatest commandment of them all by a scribe who had seen the other Pharisees and teachers of the law trying to trick Jesus, and yet Jesus to him and posed him the question of which is the greatest commandment of them all. And he replied by quoting the Shema of Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5, saying, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And so we've been looking at the statement made by Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verse affections. But then, interestingly, as we looked at last week, in the Hebrew definition of heart, it includes the concept of our minds. And so that includes the intellect and thinking. And that's why in the Shema, there's no reference to our minds. But in the Mark chapter, we looked at our minds last week, which is how we apply our mind and our intellect and our thinking. Right thinking about God is so important. And we apply all these things as we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then on week two, of course, we looked at the soul. That is an indication of our all in all, to love, all of our being. And so our focus this evening will be a consideration of what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our strength. I wonder what immediately comes to mind when you think of loving someone with all of your strength. Probably some image along the lines of helping someone or using our muscles to support or protect someone in some way. When we look at what the Bible is referencing in the Shema, we find that the word that is used in the original Hebrew is much more than using our muscle power to serve the Lord or to love the Lord with. The word is meod, which I found this quite interesting. It actually means very words, because at face value it doesn't make terribly much sense. So let's have a look at the Bible in terms of some other places in the scriptures where this word meod is used. Genesis 1 verse 31 is the Lord saying that all that he created was very good. Now, in Hebrew, it's the word meod. So meod good. It's very good. Genesis 4 verse 5, on the other hand, speaks of Cain's anger. Cain was meod angry. Genesis 30 verse 43 is a different example where Jacob becomes meod wealthy. So the word is used twice there. He became incredibly wealthy. And this is something that's interesting for us to note. In terms of Hebrew, in Hebrew literature, if a word is used twice, it's done so for emphasis. And so meod means very, very. That's an interesting point when we understand that the Bible says that God is holy, holy. So it's the word used twice to represent emphasis. God is not just holy, he's holy, holy. So remember in Hebrew, if you use the word twice, it's symbolic of emphasizing the point. But the Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. It's three times. It's beyond our understanding how holy God is. Back to the Shema, meod is an adverb meaning very much. So let's take a quick look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In other words, you will love the Lord your God with all of your will and affection and your mind and intellect and thinking and with all your being and with all your muchness. Of course, that's a little difficult for us to understand. But what we do need to make sure that we understand is that this is not speaking about our using our muscles. It's not that kind of strength. It's about bringing our all in all. And that's going to be where we're going. Now, as far as the New Testament is concerned, the original Hebrew was either translated into Greek or Aramaic. And each translation offers a slightly different flavor to the word meod. The Greek translation was the word dunamis, which I think we're fairly familiar with from the word dynamite, that means our power, potential, or ability. And so I think that definition helps us understand a lot more of what this word meod means. And so into Greek, it was translated dunamis, which refers to our power, potential, or ability. In terms of the Old Testament, as we consider this word dynamite, does it then mean that we need to use our physical strength or our physical ability in a dynamic way to overcome the enemies of God? As we read the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 31 about Joshua, certainly Joshua was speaking to the Israelites about them going into the promised land and fighting in a physical sense for the Lord. And so indeed, biblically, there was a season that God called his people to do that. And we need to understand that the Lord our God gives and takes away. The Bible explains that in various places. And so it is not wrong for the Lord to command his people to do things that might seem surprising to us. He's God after all. But as we look at the New Testament and as we look to Jesus Christ, it seems that that's very much not what Jesus is calling us to do. Of course, a king is someone of great strength, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of all, but he is also servant of all. John chapter 18, verse 36 is an example of when this becomes clear. Jesus, speaking to Pilate, said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." And then in Ephesians 6, verse 12, Paul confirms this fact that we're not called to fight a physical battle as the Israelites were called to fight a physical battle in Deuteronomy 31. Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And so what we are called to do is we're called to love like Jesus loved and use our strength as Jesus used his strength. In other words, we're called to love the Lord our God like a servant-hearted ox. In Indonesia, when we lived there, we would fairly regularly see oxen working in the rice fields. They'd be driven to plow the rice fields, and they would obediently work together in pairs, and the result was incredible productivity. We're called to serve the Lord with passion, using our energy and ability in dynamically serving him as an act of love. The interesting thing is that in doing so, of course, we would grow weary. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 to 31 says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted." But as we well know, it goes on to speak of the strength that comes from the Lord. And so as we walk this journey of servanthood, we're not doing so in our own strength. We're not called to be dynamic within our own power, but in the power of the Lord. Verse 31 carries on and says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so we get the words of Moses to the people, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Just as we're not called to fight as the Israelites were called to fight, we do not face the same kinds of enemies, but indeed we face enemies and trials of many kinds. And it's easy for us to grow weary and to be in dread of the things that we face. But the Lord of yesterday is the same as the Lord of today. And so these words apply to us as much as they did to the Israelites. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, being whatever we might be in dread of. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And Psalm 31 verse 24 echoes this theme. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So, with the Greek definition in mind, we are called to be dynamic. We're called to be dynamic in our love for God. As far as the Aramaic translation goes, it's sometimes translated with the word wealth. Now, we are, if we read the scriptures, we're called to love God by giving generously. And it's not giving a great amount, it's giving what we can. We know the story well of the widow's mite. She gave what she had, and it was very pleasing to the Lord. We're to give with all our strength. We can't give with strength that isn't ours. And we see that in the parable of the talents, where each one was given a certain amount, and it was for them to steward what they had been given. Of course, we can't steward or use what we don't have. Other people might have more than we do. That's not the point. The point is using what we have, using the strength that God has given us. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this is the interesting thing. If God loves a cheerful giver, it's loving for us to be cheerful givers. So loving the Lord our God with all of our strength entails being a cheerful giver. And of course, when the Bible speaks of giving to the Lord and making offerings to the Lord, it's not just speaking about finances or wealth in that sense, but it's also speaking of us bringing our natural abilities and spiritual gifts to the people of God as we endeavor to build each other up. Romans chapter 15 verse 1 to 2 speaks of this. It says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. And so we're called to use our strength to build each other up and to work for unity. But again, we grow weary as we do so. And so we're called to endure by Scripture, which is also part of being strong. The endurance to carry on running, to carry on moving and pressing toward the goal that Christ Jesus has called us to, which is exactly what Philippians 13 verse 14 says. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Loving the Lord our God with all of our strength means that we endure. But the good news is that we endure with his help. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Philippians 4 verse 12 to 13 is similar. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. All things through him who strengthens me. And so, friends, we might not have the strength to press on, but in the Lord, as we wait on the Lord, we find that our strength is renewed. And that's a theme that is carried throughout the Bible. Romans 15, verse 5 to 7 is one of the wonderful benedictions in the letter to the Romans, and it says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may have may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." So in the Aramaic sense of the word, as meiotes is translated, if we are to love the Lord, we're to love the Lord our God by giving, and we're called to do this with our resources, as well as ourselves, and we're called to do so generously and cheerfully as an offering of love to God. And Psalm 31:23-24 says, "Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord." As we close, to love the Lord our God with our strength is to give our all in every situation. It is to take every opportunity to love and honor God with as much muchness as we possibly can. Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength means that we love Him completely with the tangible and intangible facets of our being. We live in the knowledge that He is our all in all, and in a way that demonstrates that He is our all in all too. And finally, Psalm 29, verse 10 to 11 says, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood, over the chaos in our lives, over the things we don't understand. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace." Amen.